What's up, everybody? Welcome into Locked On Warriors. I am your host, Charles T. Hamilton. Another good one for you today. Draymond Green is locked up for the next 5 years, contractually speaking. We have learned a little bit about the Warriors' schedule coming up, and if the schedule makers mean anything, this team is still incredibly relevant. And Klay Thompson says the dynasty ain't over. That's all coming up next here on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What up, everybody? Welcome into Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. Another good one for you today. But first, I got to tell you that support for Locked On Warriors is coming to you from Manscaped, who is number one in men's below-the-belt grooming. You may have seen them on Shark Tank. Manscaping offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. Get 20% off and free shipping with the promo code LOCKEDON at manscaped.com. That's 20% off at manscaped.com when you enter the promo code Locked On. That's LOCKEDON at manscaped.com. What's good, everyone? I hope you all had a nice weekend, enjoyed the heat, some of the last weekends of summer, but I don't think any of us had as good of a weekend as Draymond Green, who we got the report on Saturday, signed a 4-year, $100 million extension with the Golden State Warriors. And this deal is huge for a number of reasons. I mean, for us, it's huge in money. For other NBA players, it's not as huge, whatever. You can talk about all that. But the bottom line is Draymond Green is locked up for the next 5 years at a total of $118 million for the Warriors, which is fantastic. One of the things that happened over this offseason is just the uncertainty of the Warriors' future. And there's still some uncertainty as far as how D'Angelo Russell fits in, how all the other pieces fit in, blah, blah, blah. Because we'll get to that. I mean, that's we're not going to know until it actually happens. But one thing we do know is that the team has recommitted to the core of Steph, Klay, and Draymond. And with Steph signing his Supermax deal last year, Klay signing his max deal, 5 for 190. Draymond signing his max deal, 4 for 100. The core has recommitted to the Warriors. The Warriors have recommitted to them, and they have recommitted in turn. So the bottom line is we know that they have those three main guys locked up. And there's a lot of positives for this on both sides, whether it's the Warriors or Draymond Green. We'll start with the positives for Draymond Green. Here is the first one. He just signed for $100 million. He's got $100 million coming his way over the next 4 years. It's pretty damn good. It's a good weekend. But it's more than just that, obviously. If he waited for free agency, he could have signed for up to 4 years, $149 million, 5 years, $201 million, or if he had made all-league or had become defensive player of the year, he could have signed a Supermax deal, 5 for 235. So the first one I mentioned, 4 for 149, would have been if he left the Warriors. 5 for 201 would have been if he stayed with the Warriors. And then the 5 for 235 would have been the Supermax with the Warriors. And as I mentioned this, the thing is with those were all possibilities and nowhere near certainties. When you look at Klay, I think the 5 for 190 was a certainty. Steph getting his Supermax, a certainty. KD getting whatever he wanted, whether it was Supermax with the Warriors or somewhere else, a certainty. Draymond, we all know his game and how different it is from other superstars and maybe how undervalued it is from other superstars. Just because he doesn't put up 30 points a game, I could argue his impact is just as high as someone who puts up 30 a game. But to me, this deal that he took also shows great self-awareness on his part because he understands that most likely He's not going to get 4 for $149 from another team, and wouldn't get the 200, the 5 for $200, or even if he won Defensive Player of the Year, get the 5 for $235. I also think he looked and saw a number of different things over the last couple months. He saw that the teams that have cap space next year are not teams that he wants to play on. If competitiveness is important to him, and not just competitiveness, obviously that's important, but staying with the Warriors is important also for what they've built. But let's just say, for the sake of argument, competitiveness is important. Teams like Phoenix and the New York Knicks are the teams that have money. Places I don't think Draymond would want to go. And to be honest, places he would not be valued or appreciated the same way he is with the Warriors, whether it's fan base, coaching staff, front office, etc. This move also does not affect the hard cap at all. That was a question I got a couple times. This does not affect the hard cap because it doesn't kick in until next year. So nothing's changed for this year. So technically, like I said, the deal is for 5 years, 118, I believe, because he's making 18 this year, and then it'll kick in next year when it starts. One of the things this also does is take away the drama of having another high-level player, a core player, going into free agency, having to deal with that all year. Now, I'm sure it would have been dealt with differently than the way that Kevin Durant dealt with it. Again, I don't think KD did much wrong in how he dealt with it, but he was lost at times, where I think Draymond would have had the wherewithal to say, you know what, we're not talking about it until the offseason, where KD just couldn't really get a grasp on that. But bottom line, it's not something that they're going to have to deal with. And if you look at free agency next year, even before Draymond re-signed with the Warriors, it's a pretty weak free agency class. There's Gallinari, Anthony Davis, Kyle Lowry, and Marc Gasol are the top four. Anthony Davis, I think we all assume, will re-sign with the Lakers unless something terrible happens down there. So then you're looking at Gallinari, Lowry, and Gasol, really, which all fine players, none of them superstars. So for the Warriors to lock up Draymond Green is huge, and it locks him up with the core of that started this whole thing, Steph, Klay, and Draymond. I know people talk about how the Warriors look at the Spurs as the model franchise, and I think, why wouldn't you? They are the model franchise. That model franchise had a core three of Duncan, Ginobili, and Parker, and the Warriors have their core three, and they have them locked up for the next 3 years at least, because that's when Steph's number comes due, but Steph won't be going anywhere. You got Klay and Draymond in line for 5 years. They both become due in 5 years. So this is huge for the Warriors, huge for Draymond. Congrats to all of them. This is not anything that they're going to have to worry about. That's the best part. We're not going to have to hear any of it. Because that was one of the most annoying things with Kevin Durant also. And it, like I said, I don't think it was his fault. They psychoanalyzed every single dribble he took, and it got really annoying. You know, does this mean he's going to leave? Does this mean he'll stay? Blah, blah, blah. We don't have to deal with that, because you know what we do know is that Draymond is staying. And another thing that this opens up for him is with Sean Livingston, Andre Iguodala, both gone, Kevin Durant, with a super young team where the vets, the core three, are really the only three that have been around for a long time. You can throw Kevon Looney in there too, which is kind of funny considering he's only 23 years old. But you throw Kevon Looney in, Steph, Klay, and Draymond, only ones that have been around for a while. Draymond is going to have to take a very active leadership role. And I know some people might be listening to this, he always does. That's who Draymond is. It's going to have to be even more. Without Andre Iguodala, without Sean Livingston, without Klay Thompson for at least half the season, and maybe even with Klay Thompson. I don't know if Klay Thompson is much of a mentor or anything. Draymond is really going to have to take on a leadership role, and not just verbally, but on the court, like as a coach, kind of trying to teach these young guys the Warriors way, so to speak. You know, I think it was Ethan Strauss who had a great comparison for the Warriors' offense. I think he used Yiddish as the language. I won't try and quote it exactly because I'll probably do it wrong, but basically he said the Warriors' offense is like a language that has no boundaries, where it's just understood. No one's going to call a play. You just know that someone's coming off the screen. These people know where to be and how to play within the Warriors' offense, like you know how to communicate within a foreign language. And I might have just butchered that. But basically, Draymond's going to have to be open to teaching and being the leader that they don't have with Andre, who was known as the kind of the teacher, I guess you could say, definitely the leader of that second unit, always talking to people on the bench, pointing things out, and that's what Draymond's going to have to be while on the court also. And I don't want to say he wouldn't do it during a contract year, but during a contract year, you got to imagine he'd be focused on other things than how to make his teammates the best instead of, you know, maybe I should focus on getting the most money I can this offseason. So, regardless of how you look at it, I think it's a great deal for the Warriors, and it's great stability for the Warriors moving forward. Now, if you take a step back and look at this offseason, yes, they lost Kevin Durant. They lost Andre Iguodala, Sean Livingston, a couple other players. You know, Damian Jones, Quinn Cook, a lot of role players. But let's just stick with the big names. Kevin Durant, Sean Livingston, Andre Iguodala. And to rebound by doing the sign and trade for D'Angelo Russell, signing Klay Thompson to the 5-year max, getting a 5-year commitment from him, getting Draymond Green a 4-year commitment on top of the one that he has. So that's a 5-year commitment from him. And by the way, with the D'Angelo Russell move, that's a 4-year commitment. We can talk about all the other stuff too, but as far as the big names go, getting D'Angelo Russell, re-signing Klay, 5-year commitment, re-signing Draymond, 5-year commitment, has been huge. There are still questions about D'Angelo Russell and how it will work. Let's say best case scenario, he just steps in as, you know, the next KD on this team. Obviously won't be as good, but they have 4 all-stars on this team and D'Angelo Russell is the 4th. You have those guys locked up for at least the next 3 years with Steph, 4 years with D'Angelo Russell, 5 years with Draymond and Klay. And if it doesn't work out with D'Angelo Russell, you can flip them for pieces that will fit better. I think they did a great job. And then one last thing that this Draymond extension does is it's just one less thing to worry about. I know I've said that, but they have a $17 million trade exception that expires, I think, 1 or 2 days into free agency. It was part of the Andre Iguodala deal. So instead of Draymond Green being the number one priority as soon as free agency starts, trying to find someone they can fit into that trade exception is their number one priority. Whether they can do it or not, who knows? But that has just moved up the list as the number one priority in free agency coming up. Bravo to Draymond. Bravo to the Warriors front office, Bob Myers, everyone, the entire organization. Getting this done was huge. Going to take a quick break, come back. Some of the NBA schedule has come out already, and if the schedule makers and national TV are any indication, this Warriors team is still more than relevant. But first, Bombas are the most comfortable socks in the history of feet. Plus, for every Bombas purchase, they donate a pair to someone in need. Find out more about what feet daydream about at bombas.com/locked today and get 20% off at bombas.com/locked. That is bombas.com/LOCKED. What's up, everybody? Welcome back into Locked On Warriors. I am your host, Charles T. Hamilton. What's good? Just finished talking about Draymond Green signing the 4-year, $100 million extension. And there was so much to get into that segment. A couple things I missed. I have to imagine when it comes to guys like Draymond Green, CJ McCollum, who are both second-tier superstars, if that makes sense. I don't know if that is the right term, but they're not Kevin Durant or Steph Curry or LeBron or even Klay Thompson to an extent, where maybe eliminate Klay Thompson in that one, but we'll see. Either way, what I'm trying to say is these are guys who took extensions before free agency and took less money than they could have got if they waited to hit the free agent market. And I have to imagine seeing Kevin Durant tear his Achilles in the last game of his season, or Klay Thompson tear his ACL in his last game of the season, sticks in their mind to where they say, yeah, I could bet on myself to get to free agency. But I also think there's a self-awareness with both those guys that says, I don't know if that contract's going to be there for me if I suffer an injury like Kevin Durant did, like Klay Thompson did. KD can get any offer he wants, even off a torn Achilles. Klay Thompson, ACL, and that's the thing. The ACL is a lot less detrimental to a career than a torn Achilles. So maybe off an ACL, CJ and Draymond could have still gotten good contracts, but they weren't sure about it and took the money that they could. Now, CJ's a different story. Draymond Green, if he tears his Achilles this year, he's not getting $100 million in free agency. I don't see it happening. CJ, because he's a scorer, maybe, I don't know. Doesn't matter. This is a Warriors podcast. So I do think that they saw what happened with Kevin Durant and Klay Thompson and are taking the security that is there for them instead of risking losing all of it. You know, and not just the Kevin Durant. Look at DeMarcus Cousins. I mean, I know he wasn't just about to be a free agent when he he was about to be a free agent, but it wasn't, you know, the last game of the year. Tore his Achilles. Now DeMarcus has played, he will have played two seasons for $8 million. I don't think he's played for that little since his rookie year. So there's risks involved, and I think Draymond is minimizing the risk and also getting great financial security for him, his family, for generations of Greens. So congrats to him. It's awesome. After he signed his deal, the draft combine in 2012 with Draft Express, an interview he did with them, has come out on social media, and it's pretty great. So I'm going to throw it here. It's about a minute and a half long. Nothing too crazy, but there's some stuff in there that is pretty awesome.
Whatever a team needs me to play, if a team needs me to play the three, I can play the three. If a team needs me to play the four, I can play the four. I'll probably play both. You know, but, you know, I don't really like classifying myself, oh, you know, I'm a small forward or I'm a power forward, because I think, you know, if I'm just strictly a three, it takes away what things I can do at the four. And if I'm a four, it takes away the things I can do at the three. And that's what made me unique as a player. So, you know, I don't really like saying am I a three or am I a four. I'm just a basketball player.
What are some of the things you're going to have to work on to, you know, playing on the perimeter a little bit more in the NBA?
I'll keep improving my body and getting quicker. I think that's the most important thing, and keep on working on my ball handling and my shot as well.
In terms of being a winner, how much do you, you know, use that to sell yourself?
I mean, I think that speaks for itself. You know, like, you know, all the guys have seen how much that, you know, I've been a part of winning teams and know how to win games. So, you know, I think that's pretty much, you know, a selling point for itself. But, you know, if it's a word that I use to describe myself and I'm asked to describe myself, you know, a winner is one word that I would use.
What type of NBA player do you see yourself being? Is there, you know, guys that you look at, that you point to, and you say, you know, I could be that guy?
I mean, I look at a lot of different guys. You know, I don't necessarily look at one specific player because, you know, the NBA is so about what you do. You do your one thing well, and I think I do a variety of things well, which makes me unique as a player. So I study a bunch of different guys and just try to put a bunch of different things together.
Where do you see yourself 5 years from now?
Just on the NBA team, hopefully with a couple world championships under my belt and just keep on improving as an NBA player.
I love that clip from Draymond just talking about, you know, if you limit him to one position, that will minimize his ability. And yeah, he doesn't play much of the three, but you know what he does do? Defends threes all day. Defends every position on the court. And I love that the last question, you know, where do you see yourself in 5 years? Hopefully on a team with a couple of championships. 5 years in, guess where he was? On the Golden State Warriors with two rings. Love stuff like that. And it's got to be, I mean, it's an awesome story, and it's got to be an inspiration for everyone that has ever tried to make it to the NBA in any aspect. That Draymond Green is a second-round pick who, at the end of this contract, will have made over $185 million in his career. If he retires at the end of this contract, he will have made over $185 million just from playing in the NBA. That's not endorsements or anything like that. And knowing him, I'm sure he's got some years left after that. Going to tack on some more money to it. So congrats to Draymond. Beautiful stuff, man. Can't wait to see him play next season. One more thing I wanted to get to was maybe I'm sensitive. You know, maybe I'm sensitive to some of the things that have been said about the Warriors since Kevin Durant's departure. That people believe that the Warriors are just a whatever team since KD left. They're not the same. They're not important. They're not relevant. As if they don't have three all-stars or three superstars on their team anymore. Technically four. D'Angelo Russell, shout out. But you know what? I need to get over it because the schedule makers, the national TV, the Vegas, just about everyone is still riding with the Warriors. Now, they're not the prohibitive favorites to win a championship, but they are still a very relevant NBA team. And the reason why I bring that up is because they're still slated for a Christmas Day game against the Rockets. And I was intrigued. I was wondering, you know, would they be knocked out of that this year? The MLK Day games haven't come out yet, but I'm wondering, you know, will the Warriors get one of those? They were a lock for MLK Day and Christmas for the last 5 years. Will that change? Christmas has not. MLK Day, we will see. And they're also going to be opening the Chase Center against the Clippers on October 24th. Season will start on October 22nd. First game, 24th, against the Clippers at home. That's a tough one. That is going to be a tough one. But we'll see how the Clippers do, being a brand new team. You know, the Warriors in their first game with Kevin Durant got beat by the Spurs at home. So we'll see what happens, but the Warriors are still very much relevant. And, you know, don't listen to some of the pundits that say they aren't, because national TV schedule, the big MLK Day game schedule, Christmas Day, all that stuff that the Warriors are still involved in says otherwise. Going to take one more break, come back. Klay Thompson wants it to be known that the dynasty is not over, and he's going to tell you why. That's coming up next here on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. What up, everybody? Welcome back into Locked On Warriors. With the NFL season starting, man, you guys want to make sure you go and download, subscribe, follow, all that good stuff. Locked On NFL. You got expert analysis from Matt Williamson, former NFL scout. It's hosted by Brian Peacock. Locked On NFL is your daily national podcast on all things NFL with Matt's unique take on the game. Be sure you go listen to Locked On NFL, especially with the season coming up, man. This is the perfect time to go check them out. So we just finished talking about the Warriors and their relevance, and some people might be down on their future. I'm not one of them. Apparently the powers that be who, you know, decide Christmas Day games and all that stuff aren't one of them. And Klay Thompson also is not one of them. In an interview with Kerry Champion of ESPN, Klay said, "Our management does a great job of finding guys who fit our system. We'll carve out a nice role for them. I'm excited. I think we have 5 great years ahead of us, maybe even longer, so I would not count us out. Not this year, the next year, or the year after that." Good old Klay, man. He ain't done. He ain't done. And obviously, what else is he going to say? But I agree with him. I think their demise has been a little premature. This team still has the core that started this whole thing. They still have D'Angelo Russell. I just love hearing Clay saying it. We don't know when he'll be back, but anytime Clay wants to get a little defiant and feisty, I'm always here for it. And it's just fun coming from Clay, too. It's just fun coming from Clay. Again, he also mentioned later that he will be back on the court, but he just doesn't know when. And obviously, neither do we. But the biggest thing for the Warriors, they'll just have to be able to try and tread water when he's out. But that's the other thing, too. Tread water is kind of diminishes what guys like Steph and Draymond and potentially D'Angelo Russell can all do together. So maybe tread water is not the right word. I mean, what if Clay comes back and they're the four seed or something like that? This team still has a ton of firepower, still has a ton of star power. So they could be anywhere. They could be anywhere, but I don't know. Just the idea of just treading water until Clay gets back is a little disrespectful. And I'm sure Draymond and Steph have heard it, internalized it, and are going to use it. I'm sure they'll teach D'Angelo Russell to do the same thing if he hasn't already. Thank you guys so much for listening. I'll be back on Wednesday with another episode of Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You can't climb a mountain if it's smooth, right? You got to go over the rough spots. Peace.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily podcast on the Golden State Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.